the Lord Jesus Christ frequently taught by means of parables. You find parable before, and some of you may remember that a parable is simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I've sometimes heard longer definitions, but I think earthly story with a heavenly meaning is about as simple as you can get, and yet it brings down the very heart of what a parable is. An earthly story. It's something that we might see in our lives as we see people, as we see different events developing. Of course, if you compare it with a fable, in a fable you have animals speaking, and I think most of us realize that animals do not speak. So in a fable you have, you know, things happening that are not earthly. There are some special event, and a lot of it is made up. But a parable is something that is a real life situation, but it has a deep spiritual meaning. And in Matthew chapter 18, the passage that we have read, we have one of these parables. And our Lord tells this parable in response to a question by Peter. And so we see the conversation that our Lord carries on with Peter in verses 21 and 22. You know, verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" If we look at Peter's statement within the context of this passage, we see that the verses before, beginning at verse 11, we have the accounts where Jesus talks about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. One of them is lost, and the shepherd goes out to seek that lost child. And then he goes on to talk there about the subject of what we would generally call church discipline. And he does so in verses 15 through 17. So the subject of church discipline, where there is something between one believer and another believer. How should we treat that other person? And so he gives the details, and I'm not going to go into these details, but how are we to treat another person? We are to forgive that person. And see, that's why when we now come on, Peter asked that question, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And of course, the Jewish rabbis that had told the Jews that they should forgive three times. One, well, yeah, that's obvious. Two, but three times, then you're really doing a very good job. But you don't have to do more than three times, because then it's kind of getting to be ridiculous. So here Peter actually goes way beyond what the Jewish rabbis were teaching. And he said, "Lord, shall I forgive him seven times?" Wow, Peter thought, I'm being pretty good here. You know, I'm sure that Jesus will be quite happy with me. But notice the reply from our Lord. Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now, 70 times 7, if my math is correct, it should be about 490. But nobody is going to count. Now, if it's three times, you may count. That was once, twice, three, that's it. Seven, you could possibly begin to lose count. But 490, what are you going to do? Take out a little notebook and say one, two, and hey, you're getting close now. We're up to 470. Just 20 more, and then I don't forgive you anymore. Obviously not. So when our Lord is saying 490, 70 times 7, he says by that time you'll have lost count and you will keep on forgiving. And it's with that in mind then that our Lord tells that parable of the unforgiving servant. We've read it, and I don't think it's necessary to go into great detail here on this particular parable, basically what happens is that there's a man who owes a sum of money. We're told 10,000 talents. That is a large sum of money. We don't know whether it's talents of silver or talents of gold. It's been suggested that this could be as much as $50 billion in our money. You're wondering, you know, how come he owed that much money, you know, as an individual? But, you know, that's the amount that Jesus mentions, and the guy doesn't have to pay. So his Lord said, sell him, sell his wife, sell his children, sell all that he has, and hopefully he'll be able to make payment. But he fell down and said, you know, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And his Lord generously forgave him. Now then in turn, this servant that had just been forgiven found one of his fellow persons which owed him 100 cents, and if he had 50 million before, this would be probably just about 50. That would be the contrast. Alright? So 50 versus 50 million. Well, he owed him. And he said, all right, pay that you have. And he said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He uses the exact same words. But he would not. He said, nope, I'm not going to do it. All right. He went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now people have seen what had happened. They've reported to the Lord. And of course, he was not very happy, to say the least. All right? The Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And that's the key lesson that we see in this parable. In other words, Jesus teaches that we must forgive others to the uttermost. Now, as we see that Jesus teaches us that we must forgive others to the uttermost, this does not mean that we should allow people to commit crimes and then not punish them for the crimes that they have committed. You know, we can forgive a person who has committed a crime, but they will still have to spend time in jail or whatever punishment the judge gives. As I was meditating upon this, to mind came an incident that we were involved in a sense, in Adelaide, quite a few years ago. Those of you who are from Adelaide, not recent, but long time from Adelaide, will remember the situation that happened with Dr. Goh. And a medical doctor, the one daughter used to come to Hope Church. Three children by the second wife used to come to our holiday Bible club, our vacation Bible school. And one day, the Dr. Goh was called out on a house call, which is the kind of work that he was doing. And it was a trick, a trap, and they killed him. Alright, this of course was all over the newspapers, headlines, his picture. We attended the funeral because we knew the family, we knew him. Many of our people in the Hope Church knew him quite well. And of course, the people that did it were arrested. It was rather easy to arrest them, because they were driving Dr. Goh's vehicle, which had personalized license plates. So, you know, it was pretty easy to recognize his vehicle. But they were arrested, and they admitted they had done it. And when it came to the time of the trial, there was a large picture on the front page of the advertiser in Adelaide with the headline, I forgive them. And that was the widow who had spoken. She forgave him. In the providence of God, the widow was not a Christian at the time that he died. But God used it to bring her to Christ. And we have since talked to her several times. we know that she is active in the Lord's work. She doesn't go to Hope Church, but, you know, it's not as if that's the only church there is. So she's active in the Lord's work, you know, attending church. But she knew that she must forgive these young men that had murdered her husband. But these young men still had to go to jail. You know, and that is the picture that we get here. We cannot overlook crime. Oh well, just forgive you. Never mind. Tigafala. Some of you would say, no, crime must be punished. But there is still that concept that we must forgive others for the uttermost. And J.C. Ryle made a very interesting comment on this. He said this, what a happy world it would be if this rule of our Lord was more known and better obeyed. It's quite a statement. What a happy world this would be if this rule of our Lord was more known and better obeyed. In other words, that we forgive. Because that's what happened. His Lord was wroth. He delivered him to the tormentor so he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. If you don't forgive, he says, we must forgive. So that's why Ryle made that comment. What a happy world this would be if this rule of our Lord to forgive was more known and better obeyed. You know, it's been said it takes two to quarrel. You know, it's hard to quarrel by yourself, isn't it? You may be able to work up quite a head of steam if you're by yourself. But a quarrel, no, there's got to be two people to do it. You know, and you think about it too. A fire will go out if there's no fuel. But we sometimes tend to throw fuel on the fire so that the fire becomes worse. But if it takes two to quarrel, just make up your mind. I'm not going to be the one to quarrel. That leaves the other person by himself. And you can't quarrel by yourself. You know, when it comes to this matter of fire, if we keep putting, you know, oil on that fire, not oil on the waves, but oil on the fire, you know, the fire is getting bigger and bigger. If we stop putting wood on the fire or oil on the fire, it's going to go out. And the problem that's there, it will diminish. Till finally there will be nothing left. And so it's good to remember that. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 12, you know, says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, live peaceably with all men. Don't throw oil or wood on that fire to make it bigger. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We don't need to take vengeance. Okay, if there's a court case, let the judge deal with it. We don't have to. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Leave it to God. He'll take care of it. Therefore, and this is toward the end now of chapter 12, verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. That's what we are to do, you and I. And if we do that, that's when we are extending grace, when we overcome evil with good. But looking at the parable here, we see actually in it that the Lord Jesus Christ gives two reasons why we must forgive. Not only does he say forgive, but he also gives reasons why we should forgive. And the first reason is that we ourselves need forgiveness from God. It's very clear. We also need forgiveness. You know, we're not perfect. We are all sinners. No question there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Christ died for sinners. The Bible makes that very clear as well. Christ died for sinners. So, people may do things to us. So I won't forgive you for that. But hold on a moment. What is that, what people do to us, in comparison to our offenses against God? Because if you realize it, we have offended a holy God. A God who says, be ye therefore perfect. But we're not perfect, we're far from it. We're all sinners. And we want God to forgive us up to 50 million. But then somebody else does something to us equivalent to, like, say, $50. And we will not forgive? No. That's why our Lord says, we ourselves need forgiveness from God. Listen to the words in Ephesians. Because Ephesians chapter 4, the last couple of verses in the chapter, you know, they bring this out very clearly. When it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Here we are believers. We say, we're believers. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In other words, don't be bitter. Don't be angry. You know, don't do any evil speaking. All these things should be put away. And then verse 32, the positive, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But isn't that exactly what the parable says in Matthew 18? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. God has forgiven me, you, our sins. Are under the blood. Remember, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. That's the blood of Christ. So we have that forgiveness of sin. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And now he says we then, in turn, should forgive other people. So that's the first reason then why he points out that we should forgive others. But he gives a second reason as well, and that is that we must forgive because ultimately there is a judgment coming. Judgment is coming. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He will be the one to repay. He will be the one to judge. I think you remember, some of you at least, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Which talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And you will recall, I hope, that the judgment seat of Christ is the Bema. Those of you who first went to Greece and Turkey a couple of years ago, you'll remember in Corinth, seeing that Bema, that judgment seat that was there, as a reminder of the judgment seat of Christ. So we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, because that's what he points out here in the parable too in Matthew 18. You know, shouldest thou not have had compassion? The Lord was angry, delivered him to the tormentors. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother, that trespasses. There will be judgment coming. My heavenly Father will do this to you if you will not forgive your brother his trespasses. Now that's also brought out, by the way, in Matthew chapter 6, when we have the Lord's Prayer. Now we all know the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. But I have noticed that verses 14 and 15 are often kind of passed over. You don't hear those very often. But let's read just verses 14 and 15. Alright, rejoice now, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We tend to forget that sometimes. Oh yes. Forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Yeah. But do we do it? Do we really do that? Forgiving our debtors? Forgiving those who trespass against us? There is a judgment coming. A judgment by God. For most all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, let me ask, do you want to grow in grace? Do you want to grow in Christ-likeness? Do you want to become more holy in all your ways, your words, and your works? Then you must extend grace. You and I must forgive others to the uttermost, remembering this parable and remembering that God has forgiven us. There was a pastor by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman. Not sure if the name means anything to you. It does to me because of reading many of his writings. But Dr. Chapman tells of a university professor of mathematics. This professor of mathematics had been ruined by sin, but he had found new life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His life had really been changed. And this man, this professor, was in a Bible class where Dr. Chapman was teaching. And he was speaking about Psalm 103, and he was quoting verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He, God, removed our transgressions from us. And it's at that point then that Dr. Chapman turned to this professor of mathematics and said, Professor, this is a mathematical statement. Can you please tell us how far this is? And kind of like out of, you know, habit, instinctively, the man reached for his pencil and notebook, as if he was about to make some calculations. And then suddenly, he grasped the sweep of the statement. And putting away his pencil and a notebook, he said, it was a men's Bible class, men, you cannot measure it. The distance is immeasurable. And thank God, he added, with great emotion, that is where my sins have gone. Said Dr. Chapman, speaking about it later, I shall never forget how a kind of electric thrill went over that crowd of men as he sat down sobbing as though his heart would break. That man had called the truth that God had extended grace to him and had forgiven him of all his sins. And may God help us, you and me, to extend grace to others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to note these words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Lord, help us to realize how much you have forgiven us. And may we in turn be willing to forgive everyone, his brother, that trespasses. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.